Okay, so this was a shiur that I would have liked to have given you guys last Tuesday night, but that didn't work out, given the tzom. But I think it's a shiur that gives us perspective on the 3 weeks, just to give us a sense of what this whole time period is about. It's really, again, a shiur that's most shaykh to Shiva Sar B'Tammuz, but obviously it gives us, again, this perspective for the whole 3 weeks, which hopefully will be meaningful. Okay, so let's go back to the source, right? We'll go back to Zechariah Navi in Paraches, Pasuk Yotes, where he talks about the Tzom Harvi. He talks about the different Tzomos. Tzom Harvi refers to what? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Refers to the fast that occurs in the month of Tammuz. Now, by Bayis Rishon, when was the day that the siege took place? It was really the 9th of Tammuz. Gemara says that it was only during Bayis Sheni that they moved the date, and that's when we fast today, of course, on the 17th of Tammuz, Shiva Sar B'Tammuz. But originally, it was on the 9th of Tammuz. And of course, we know the five famous things that took place on Shiva Sar B'Tammuz. The Mishnah makes reference to it initially in Tanis Av Chav Vav, and flashes it out on Chav Ches Amud Beis, talks about the Shviras Haluchos, right, the Tamid stopped, the walls were breached again, Dafka, during Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon was on the 9th of Tammuz. What else? Of course, the public burning of the Torah and an idol placed in the Heichal, which may or may have not been done by the same individual. Okay, so this is the Zman in which we're holding. And Shiva Sar B'Tammuz begins this process known as the 3 weeks. Now the truth is, if you think about it, the Parshios leading up, right, we know the Parsha and the Zman are always connected. The Parshios leading up to the 3 weeks have a lot to do with perspective. What do I mean by that? You look at the Parshios, they're all talking about eyes. It's always talking about eyes. It's very strange. You go back, you know, go back to Shlach, right? Go back to the Meraglim. The Meraglim, it's all about the eyes. It's all about their perspective on Eretz Yisrael. It's about people looking. They spent the entire month, right, using their eyes in the wrong way. Leading up to, of course, when they brought Bnei Yisrael to tears, right? How about Korach? Let's just move through the Parshios, leading up to this man of the year, the summer months. Korach also. Rashi twice in Parshas Korach says, Eino hitatu, his eye deceived him. His perspective was wrong. He saw Shalsheles Yuchsin that would come from him. He says, Shmuel is going to come from me, and Shmuel is Shakul Kamosh of Aaron. So Korach's perspective, his perspective of himself was just off. His perspective of Moshe and Aaron was off. His understanding of why they were the leaders and he wasn't was completely wrong. You go to Chukas. Knew where the eyes in Chukas. Right? Chukas, of course, is the moment where Moshe hits the rock. And what does the pasuk say? As much as you know, you could give so many different reasons. Sfarim collects, you know, 12, 13, 14 different reasons. There's a commentary called Shadal, Shmuel David Lotzato. So Shadal writes in Parshas Chukas, he says, I'm not going to open my mouth about this discussion. He says, why? He says, because Moshe did one Avera, and the Mefarshim have Moshe up to, right? Like in Shemayim, Hashem said, you know, that's a good point, right? Hey, Barbanel, that's a good point. Right? Malvim, that's a good point. Everyone's being, instead of being Malam, it's Chusam Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone's pointing out, well, not only did he hit the rock, he had hit it twice. And not only that, he called the Bnei Yisrael rebellious. And not only that, he should have said, Hashem's going to give you water, not the rock's going to give you water, like Rabbeinu Hananel says. And people are adding on, he says, I'm staying out of it. I'm not offering my own opinion. I'm not going to try to incriminate Moshe any more than people already have done. But if you just read the Pasuk, right, what happens? Moshe is criticized for failing to make a Kiddush Hashem in the eyes, in the presence, right? Torah uses Lashon of eyes, in the presence of, before the eyes of Klal Yisrael. So again, it's something about the eyes. You messed up. You had a chance to be Metakian eyes, and you messed up with the eyes. Okay, so again, Meraglim, we have Shlach, Korach, Chukas, what's next? Right, we have, of course, Balak. Right, Balak and Bilam is also all about eyes. He says, let me show you the edge of the machaneh, right? You'll see the camp of Bnei Yisrael. Bilam, we know Chazal says, only had one eye. That's a person whose perspective, he was blind in one eye. Shesum ha'ayin. So it's a person, again, whose perspective is just off. And then, of course, last but not least, you come to Pinchas, and again, I'm just leading into the Parshios, and you can go further with it. We can certainly go through the 3 weeks, but I'm leading the Parshios leading up to the 3 weeks, up to Parshas Pinchas, right? You come to Parshas Pinchas, and really the end of Balak, And the intro leading into Pinchas, of course, is Cosby and Zimri. And over there, what does it say about it? What does it say that Zimri did? Zimri ben Salu, who was none other than who? Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon. And he goes and he takes this Midianite princess, and where does he take her? Le'enei, in that, right? Before we consider her, right at the very end of the Parshas Balak. Leading into Pinchas is Kenos. It says at the very end of Balak, he takes her, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. And this farm, of course, in Parshas Pinchas, are all working. Many great tzaddikim, the Sadma Rebbe, Rav Moshe Wolfson, many others, Rav Yonason Eipshitz, the Ishbitzer, many farm are working to try to gain a perspective on Zimri. How does a Nasi do such a thing? Try to be Malamid's Chus on him. To try to see it in a way that maybe this was, there were deeper Kavanos here. Right, so as we're reading Parshas Pinchas, leading into the 3 weeks, heading right into Shiva Sabatam, we're working on trying to see a very negative act in a more positive way. So we have this whole process of eyes leading up to these months, the Tammuz and Av, and leading us into the 3 weeks. Okay, and the question is why? What do eyes have to do with anything? So if you look at the Gemara in Tanis Chavdal and Aleph, the Gemara says, gives us some advice on how to find the Shidduch. The Gemara says, if you see a Kala, Sheina Yafos, if you see a girl who has pretty eyes, so then you don't have to check out anything else about her. She has nice eyes, you don't have to look at any other part of her body, you don't have to look into her anymore. If she has beautiful eyes, you can be certain that the rest of her is also good. Right, first of all, what's the pshat? And then Gemara is giving us advice on how to meet girls. What's going on here? Very strange, extremely strange Gemara. It says, Kala Sheina Yafos. So Svarim explained, of course, who's the ultimate Kala? Klal Yisrael. Right? We had a wedding with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kafalei Marki Gigas, Hashem held the chuppah over our head. He gave us a ksuba, that was the Torah. Right? This farm, even Darshan, you can look in the Sefer Bas Ayin, Avram of Avrich, he explains how Kodesh Baruch Hu, how we made Kedushin with Hashem with both Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. He explains what the process of Bia is. Veshachanti Besocham is an Indian of Bia, and Kesef is the Bizas Mitzrayim, and Bizas Hayam, and everything. Right? This is, so Hashem, and of course the Shtar is the Torah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was married to us in all three dimensions. All three different types of Kedushin were performed on some, deeper level. And therefore the Kala is Klal Yisrael. So what does it mean, Kala She'ena Yafos? If a Kala has beautiful eyes, you don't have to check out anything else about her. So the B'nai Yisachar explains, he says, if the Jewish people have the right perspective, if our eyes are in the right place, and we know from the Svarim, I may have pointed out, I think maybe once in the past, the Sefer Or Yitzchak in Parshas Vayeshev says our neshama is in our eyes. Right? That's the Mishkan on neshama. The neshama dwells in our eyes. I think we spoke about that once. That's why your eye, the one part of the body that won't be sovel any bit of gashmis. You take a speck of dirt, you can put it in your mouth, you can put it in your ear, you can put it on your head, right? You could swallow it, and it's not going to make you so crazy. You put a speck of dust in a person's eye, it could really drive you nuts. Because the eye is so spiritually sensitive. It's the Mishkan HaNeshama, and therefore it doesn't want to have any relationship with Gashmias. Right? That's why when a person passes away, you close their eyes. But the eyes are the place of spirituality. So if our eyes are a Kala who has good eyes, if a Kala has beautiful eyes, if Kala Yisrael have the right perspective, and again, that's what we're training in all these parashios, so then what? So then you don't need to check out anything else. It's not by chance that the Arizal says that every month has a corresponding body part on the face, a different part of the face, either ears or mouth or the nose and nostrils. He says the month of Tammuz and Av correspond to what? The right eye and the left eye. That's what the Arizal says. Okay, you have the 6 months of the winter and the 6 months of the summer. Each corresponds to different parts of the face. Tammuz and Av correspond respectively to the right eye and the left eye. Okay, so this is a zman where we're working on our eyes, which obviously explains why in the summer we have so many nisyonos in Shmiras Einayim, right? That doesn't matter where we find ourselves, right? There's always challenges to guard our eyes. People are not as sensitive and careful in the way that they dress in the summer months. We're being challenged to use our eyes in the right way. That's the avoda of this time of year. Okay, now if you think about Olam Hazeh Bichlal, right? All of Olam Hazeh is a challenge for our eyes. It's called Olam Hazeh, Kedusha Rim says, because the lashon of Helam. Right? Olam is the lashon of Nelam, Helam, things that are concealed. Olam Hazeh means there's a tremendous amount of concealment in this world. Olam Hazeh, I'm just thinking. He doesn't say it exactly like this, but it just pops into my head. Olam Hazeh, right? We know that there's different forms of... Okay, not so good. Take it back. Fine, good. So Olam Hazeh, right? Nelam. To conceal, a world of concealment. What happens when a person's in a state of concealment, when he can't see so well? Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel, that all of Olam Hazeh is compared to a Laila. Even when it's day, we're in the dark. Right? I mean, the next world is Kula Or. Right? Laila Ki Yom Ya'ir. The goal is to bring light into this world. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Pei Gimel, Mabez, Olam Hazeh is Domel Laila. So what happens when you're in the dark? What are the possible things that happen when a person's in the dark? Shil Sisharim says, in the third parak, two possible things could happen when you're walking around in the dark. And again, all of Olam Hazeh is walking around in the dark. It's all as they were in a state of Halam, it's hard to see. So what could happen when you're walking around in the dark? Who remembers? Shil Sisharim parak Gimel? Right, so first problem could be that you think something is something that it's not. You walk into your house, right, and you see something lurking in the corner ready to bite your head off. And you think, oh my gosh, it's a real, you know, it's a monster, and you flip on the lights, and of course, what is it? It's your coat rack or whatever, something lying in the corner. Right, that's problem one. You misinterpret things when you're trying to see in the dark. What's the second possibility?
Think something's there, but
it's similar, but what?
Think something's there, but it's not.
Right, you think something's there when it's not even there at all. You've created an image in your mind that it's not even there. It's a false reality. Right? This is the challenge of learning to see in the dark. So again, you know, what we're training specifically this time of year in particular to work on, this inyan of einayim, of seeing with the right perspective, is really just a training ground for what? For all of life in this world. Olam Hazeh is doma lelayla. You're walking around in the dark. Our perspective is being challenged to see things, right? We sometimes see things that aren't. We create our own, you know, visions of things that we imagine to exist and they don't even exist. Or we misinterpret things. We look at someone like Zimri Ben Salu and we say, oh, disgusting, horrible Avera. And we don't look deeper to try to understand how could it be that, you know, a Nasi of Shevet Shimon goes and does this act of Arayos, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. How could it be? Right? Sometimes we stop, we see things in a superficial way, we don't really understand what we're looking at when we look at things. So this is what the Avoda of this time of year. Now, why do we read Parshas Pinchas immediately before we begin the 3 weeks? And again, it would have been better had I given you this shiur a week ago, but okay. It'll still give us perspective on this whole time period. Why is Parshas Pinchas read immediately before we come to the 3 weeks? We know the Parsha and the Zman are always connected. Right? How do we know that? These guys are something else, aren't they? How do we know that? We know that from a famous story with the Baal HaTanya. And the Baal HaTanya came to try out to be the Baal Koreh for the Maggid of Mezrich. He had previously had a Baal Koreh, an excellent Baal Koreh, passed away. They heard that Rishner Zalman of Liadi is a good Baal Koreh, so he came for a trial. So he came in, and the Maggid of Mezrich says, okay, let's let me put you to the test. Question number one, do you understand the relationship between the Parsha and the current events? Do you see how, when you read the Parsha, do you see how it connects to what's going on in the world? So Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, said, yeah, absolutely, 100%. I definitely can see the relationship between the two. He says, okay, question two. Do you see how each Aliyah corresponds to that particular day? Like, do you see how Rishon corresponds to what happened in the world on Sunday? And do you see what happens in Sheni happened on Monday? Right, can you match up each? Can you break it down even finer? And he says, yes, I can. If you'll ask me, as I read Shlishi, can you show me how it relates to what happened in the world this past Wednesday? Yes, I can show you. He says, great. He says, I have one final question. He says, when someone gets called up for an Aliyah, when they call up Avram ben Yitzchak, right, do you understand how that Aliyah relates to that person's neshama and what he needs to be working on, etc.? And the Baal HaTanya said, yes, I see that as well. I understand that as well. I can read it with that much depth. So Magid Mezrich said, okay, good. So you're qualified to be the Baal Koreh. That's how he became the Baal Koreh. So you see there's a relationship between the Parsha and what's going on in the world at large, all the more so what's going on. Is the door open? Which maybe,
that's closed. Wow.
The window. That's okay. Right, so there's a relationship between what's going on in the Parsha and whatever's happening in current events. All the more so the current events of Klai Yisrael, which are what? Which are the Inyan HaDiyoma. There's a relationship, there's a reason we read Parshas Pinchas before we start the 3 weeks. Right? It's kind of the final test of, do we have the right perspective? How do we see that? And what is the lead-in? How does Pinchas lead us into the 3 weeks? So you look at what Pinchas did, and it's a tremendous act of kanos. It's a tremendous amount of din. It's mamish din. I mean, he gets up. Claudius, the Gemara Sanhedrin says they were ready to kill him for it. What do you think you're doing? You're crazy. Who are you to mess with a nasi? Right? Pinchas, you're out of line. They made fun of him. They mavaz him. Hashem had to do miracles for him, the Gemara says, to save him. It was mamish a time of the Bnei Israel were crying. No one knew what was going on. Pinchas does an act that's mamish. You know, he takes the din into his own hands. Right? A din that we can't even paskin l'halacha. It's such a heavy din. It's only if a person knows on his own to do it, he can do it. Kanayim Poganbo. So it's mamish zman of din. What's shocking is you start to read Parshas Pinchas, and of course, what's his reward?
B'shalom.
He's mamish made into a kohen. Kohen's the Indian of chesed. As far as I'm saying, Kohen is Gematria 75. Chesed is Gematria 72. Plus the three letters is Kohen, is Gematria Kohen. So Kohen is Chesed, Levi is Din. Right? So why is he made into a Kohen? For doing an act of Din, he becomes a Kohen. There's a Chesed here? Where's the Chesed in all of this? This is Din, Shabedin. And the answer is, that's exactly what the 3 weeks is. Right? The 3 weeks are a Zman, where what? Where on the surface, it's a Zman of Din Shabedin. Hashem wants nothing to do with us. It's as heavy as it gets. It's as uncomfortable as it gets. And with each step, as we get closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, hopefully there won't be such a day, but if there is such a day, the halachos intensify, the Din gets stronger. Right? It really goes back to the beginning of Talmud already. There's a Zman of Din, the Svarim say. Shiva Sefer Talmud gets more intense. You get into the 9 days, it gets more intense. You get into Shavuot Shachavah, it gets more intense. You get into Yitzum Moshe Yom, you get to Tisha B'Av itself, it's that much more intense. So there's a process of din, 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 din. And then you come to a Tisha B'Av, which is the day that's most din, and all of a sudden, Karalai Moed. Right? No, Tachna, and there's an element of Moed to it. What's going on here? There's a Chesed here. Tell me, okay, when you get to Tu B'Av, already things are looking good. But where's the... And that's what Pinchas is. Pinchas is this message that sometimes what appears to be a din on the surface is really a secret, is a chesed in disguise. Kara alai moed. We say in Megillah Seichu, we say kara alai moed. Which obviously, on a superficial level, it's a din. Kara alai moed means that the enemy is, let loose on us. They declare it a holiday out of killing Jews. But of course, we know the halacha tells us kara alai moed is that there's an element of moed, there's an element of simcha, when we talk about Tisha B'Av, certain hanhagos and halachos of the day are reflecting this idea of it being a moed. There's a potential here. That's why in Parshas Pinchas we find the shocking thing. We find all the shvatim that are listed, when it lists the numbers, right? Which family became the largest? Shockingly. Which shevet became the largest? When it lists them in Parshas Pinchas. Who? No? You would think maybe Yehuda. Done. Shockingly, Dan, who has one son, Chushim, Osios Mashiach, right? Chushim, all of a sudden, produces how many children? Pasuk tells us 64,400, the largest shevet, out of one little son. Binyamin has 10 sons. You would think his numbers would be up there. Not even close, 45,600. Chavetz Chaim says sometimes something that looks like very small in potential is a tremendous. Chavetz Chaim al Torah Parshas Pinchas says something very small in potential sometimes has surprising potential. That's what these Yemei Beinu Mitzarim are. They're days that on the surface this is not a zman to get close to Hashem. But the Pnimius, if you could see past the din and you can realize this is a process of the unfolding of Mashiach, there's a chesed in disguise here. Kara elai moed. Why is it a moed? Pinchas of Koritz explained, he said when a person plants, if you're a farmer, if you like to do a little backyard planting, right? So you take a seed and you stick it in the ground. What happens? How does the seed grow? It starts to decompose. And it rots and it rots and it rots. And it rots to the point that it's almost completely destroyed. And as it's about to, it's mamish, one foot in the grave, so to speak, it's hanging between life and death, will the seed produce anything? All of a sudden it starts to sprout. So sometimes the way to sprout, and we see with every seed that's placed in the ground, right? The way to sprout sometimes is what is through this process of decomposing and breaking down. There's a geula that's born. This is the idea of Mashiach being born in Tisha B'Av. There's a geula that's born out of this very decrepit state. This seed that's decomposing and rotting, literally rotting in the ground, is what allows for geula to be born. So it's Karalai Moed. There's a perspective here. The Chazal are revealing to us. Don't get lost in all the din on the surface, right? Don't look at Pinchas with a spear in his hand and say, "Whoa, this is din. This is heavy stuff." Right? Look at the Totzah. Look what comes out from it. Look how this leads to a tremendous chesed in disguise. And that's maybe why Hashem gives us the ultimate challenge. Parshas Pinchas. You read a story like Zimri. One of the hardest sugyas in the Torah to make sense of. To try to be malamid zchus on this act. Having relations with a non-Jewish princess in public. Right? And yet the Svarim are working very hard to try to find, no, there's a kavana here. There's a good kavana here. It can't be. Hashem wants us to do that same process. You're entering the 3 weeks. Don't get lost in what you see on the surface. There's a potential here. There's an opportunity to connect to Hashem in a very unique way. Everyone knows the mashal, right? When the king's in the palace, you can't get close to him. When the king exiles himself, so he's more accessible. You pass him on the street, he's available. Hashem's available in a very backwards, unique kind of way this time of year. And that's the avodah. That's what we're working on. To melamed tzchus on Zimri. I'm Lashon Zomer. Zomer is right, pruning, cutting away what you see on the surface to find that healthy tree on the inside, something very beautiful and potential. Okay, so now what is the opening event of Shiva Sarva Tamas? What really kicks off this whole Zman? This is really the part of the Shiva. That was all to give us some perspective on heading into it. But really, if you think about it, what is the opening event? We talk about Shviras Haluchos. That's what the Talmud Bavli talks about, I told you. Right? Tanis Daf Chav Ches. Talks about Shviras Haluchos. But if you look at the Talmud Yerushalmi in the fourth parak of Tanis, it tells a very different story. It says, what happened at Shiva Sarva Tamas? And I'm going to challenge you to tell me, why is this the opening event of the 3 weeks? Very strange. It says Moshe goes up to Shemayim. He goes to get the Luchos. Right? Hashem looks down, and what does Hashem say? Chirega. So Hashem says, thank you very much. I'll be keeping the Luchos. Right? And Moshe does what? Talmud Yerushalmi, what does he do? He grabs the Luchos out of Hashem's hand. Right? The Yerushalmi describes a bit of a struggle. Right? The Luchos were 6 Tvachim, 2 Tvachim in Hashem's hand, 2 in Moshe's hand, 2 in the middle. Moshe overpowers Kiviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu and grabs the Luchos out of Hashem's hand. Very strange. And this is Shiva Sarva Tamas, that he comes rushing back down. For what purpose? To take them and smash them. Right? What was the point of taking them? And what type of chutzpah? This is how you want to start the 3 weeks? With the ultimate act of chutzpah? Klal Yisrael are down below doing Avodah Zarah, and Moshe says, Afal Pichen, I'm taking the present to them. And he takes it down and they smash it. What's going on here? What kind of crazy chutzpah is this? What are Chazal telling us? What are they hinting to in this very strange strange Yerushalmi? And we know when we talk about Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, one of the big differences is the Ben Yishchai, writes in his drasha, in Parshas Lech Lecha, he says, the Bavli always uses the Lashon Tashma, come in here. The Talmud Yerushalmi and the Zohar, which is also written in Eretz Yisrael, use the expression Tachazi, come and see. Right? Or similar, Tachami is also used, which also means come and see. What's the difference? Right? What's the difference between the clarity that we have in Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael? If you are there to sell Machim, we know the Gemara Bavel Basra, Kufnun Ches, the air of Eretz Yisrael helps us to think clearly. So in Eretz Yisrael, Tachazi, come and see it. You can see it, it's mamish clear. Right? Bavel, Tashma, you hear about it, but it's not. It doesn't have that same, right? Seeing is believing, as we said. Even though we don't fully believe in that. Right? But seeing, to see something now, oh. So to the Talmud Yerushalmi is giving us a deeper perspective. Talmud Bavli, it's a day of Shviras Haluchos. You should go home and cry, you should go home and fast. Talmud Yerushalmi, Tachazi, come see something a little bit deeper. What's the pshat? Moshe grabs the Luchos. Moshe grabs the Luchos out of the Rabbeinu Shalom's hands. How is that the, you know, the psicha, the introduction to the 3 weeks? So I think the answer is, and this again, this is a perspective, not perspective, but a perspective on the 3 weeks, is that it's almost a challenge that Hashem's giving us. Hashem says, listen, I'm turning my back on you. Right? I'm angry at you. I'm out of here for the next 3 weeks. And it's almost a test to see how you're going to respond. Are you going to say, okay, fine, see you around. Meet up with you in 3 weeks. Right? Or are we going to say, Hashem, afal pichin, that you're turning your back on us? We're not going anywhere. We're here to stay. And yes, we've made some mistakes. And we've done some wrong things. Right? But as the mashal of a boy and girl who are in love, right? And the girl runs off and she says, that's it, you know, I've never, that's it, this relationship's over. She wants to see, is the guy going to chase after her? Or vice versa. Right? It's almost a test. Do you really love me? Do you really care about me? When I run away, do you chase after me? Or do you say, fine, I'm done with you too, and you walk the other way. We turn our backs on each other and then we part ways. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is testing us a little bit in this Zman to see, when I reject you, how do you respond? Okay, and I'll give you some examples, some proofs of this from the Sfarim, that this is how the Sfarim understood the story of Elisha ben Avuya. The story of Elisha ben Avuya became Acher, Marin Chagiga, Daf Yadalet, Arba Nichlesu Bepardes, 4 people entered the Pardes. Elisha ben Avuya saw some things that led him astray, he became Acher, he went off the Derech. And a Baskol came out of Shemayim and said, what? Shuvu banim shovavim, right? Pasuk in Yirmiyah, I believe. Everyone can do tshuva, everyone can come back, chutz, me'acher. You're out of here, you're done. You can't come back, you're done, that's it. I'm done with you. But many, many Sfarim explain, Hasidic Sfarim, non-Hasidic Sfarim, they all explain that it was a test. Acher was being tested. The Gemara says in Pesachim, I think it's Tapsamachas, everything the Baal HaBayis tells you to do, you should do except for get out. Chutz mitzeh. So you come to someone's house, they say, listen, our practice is we take off our shoes at the door. Okay, so take off your shoes. Listen, you know, can I give you something to drink? Yeah, sure. You know, if it makes you happy, I'll take a drink. But if the Baal HaBayis says, get out, you don't listen. Okay, what the pshat of that Gemara in Pesachim is a good question. Right? But this Sfarim explained on a deeper level, that's what a Kaddish Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael. Everything Hashem says to do, you should do, except when Hashem says, I'm done with you, that's it. You're done. You're out of here. Chutz me'elisha ben avuya, chutz me'acher. You're done. You can't do tshuva. You know what you're supposed to say? Hashem, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to stay. That's what the Bnei Yisachar explains. That's how the Chafetz Chaim al-Torah, Parshas Va'ira explains the Inyan of Acher. He says Paro is the same thing. That's why he's talking about it over there in Parshas Va'ira. When it says that Paro, Hashem hardened his heart, right? So what does that mean? How does he negate his free will? So the answer is, the Chafetz Chaim says, all that means is I'm not going to make it easy for you to come back to me. If you decide on your own, if you want to fight your way back in, so go for it. But Paro, I'm not leaving you any openings. Hashem is usually no saying yad l'poshim. Right? Hashem stretches out his hand to try to, you know, to bring you back. Hashem says, I'm not bringing you back. But if you want to fight your way back in, so go for it. Elisha ben Avuya, he missed the call. When the voice said, you can't come back, he should have said, Hashem, I don't care what you say. Right? Ein mashgichim b'baskol. We don't listen to baskols. I'm coming back. I'm going to be to chozer b'tshuva. That was his challenge. That was his nisayon. And that, in many respects, is exactly the new sign that we have at the beginning of 3 weeks. Hashem says, listen, I'm out of here. I'm turning my back on you. I don't want to have a close relationship with you. And we're being tested. What do we do when Hashem says, I don't want to have a relationship with you? Do we care enough to fight our way back in? Are we going to chase after Hashem? Like it says in Eicha, Kol Rod Fel Yisigua Bein HaMitzarim. And they vote us Yisrael, the Kashas Armagid explains, Kol Rod Deif Ka, all who chase after Ka will find it during the Bein HaMitzarim. There's a time to chase Hashem, literally to chase him. Because he's running, he's out of here. He's left the palace, he's hiding out somewhere. Go chase him, go find him. And I think that's the pshat in the Yerushalmi and Tanis. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. Hashem says, Chayra Egel, you're cheating on me. Right in front of my face, that's it. I'm keeping the ksuba. That's what the luchos were. Right? Baal Turim says it in a couple places. Maharal talks about it. I'm keeping the ksuba. This marriage is over. And Moshe says, I know what you're doing. You're testing us. You want to see how much we care. Moshe says, I'm grabbing the ksuba out of your hand. Okay, let's not worry about this from a halachic perspective right now. This is going to be a kosher marriage, given the circumstances. But again, there was already kesef and bia and other things to make this relationship take place. Right? So he says, I'm grabbing the ksuba. We're married, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't get rid of us now. That's the test. Am I going to be rodev ka, kol rod fel, yizigua bein amitzar, and the pasuk says in Eicha. Are we going to chase after Hashem? When Hashem turns his back, do we care enough to chase after him? And I told Gavi, the mashal, that I thought of to explain this idea, and I think it's a very good explanation, very clear explanation. If a parent says to a child, you misbehaved, so you're not getting dessert tonight. You know, Adva in the kitchen with her staff made a beautiful cake, right? No dessert for you, that's it. You lose your dessert. So if the kid goes and sneaks into the kitchen and takes a cookie, right? After the parent said you're not allowed to have it, chutzpah. What are you doing? You're so out of line. What are you doing? The parent's going to be that much more angry. But what happens if the parent says something that's shy out to the kid's life? I said the parent says, listen, you didn't behave today. I asked you to clean up your room. So now I'm going to take you and I'm going to, you know, stick your head under the water for the next 10 minutes. All right? Well, so you say to your parent, I can't listen to you because my life depends on it. Or your parents say, listen, because you misbehaved, not only am I taking away your cookie, I'm taking away your food for the next week. I'm going to die. So of course I'm not going to listen. Right? It's no gaya to my life. Hashem is testing us with the luchos. You can't have luchos. That's it. You misbehaved. No luchos for you. Is Torah your life? Are you going to say, I can't live without it, I'm going to grab it? Or is Torah just dessert? Oh, you know, it's dessert, fine. I don't need the cookie, I don't want it anyways. I don't want the lollipop anyways. Right? The kid really tries to stick it to the parent. The parent says, you're not getting dessert, I don't want dessert anyways. Right? If that's what it is, if it's dessert, we could talk like that. But if it's a life and death, if the parent says some you know, mentally deranged thing, because you misbehaved, you know, I'm going to kill you. So he said, what do you mean? So then I'm going to run for my life. Oh, it's disrespectful. It's not disrespectful, you have to save your life. Right? We're talking about life and death here. So when Hashem says, no luchos, Moshe says, that's a matter of life and death. We can't be mochel on that. We have to chase after you. Hashem says, I'm going on vacation for 3 weeks. No, you're not, Hashem. Kol rod fel yisigua, we're going to find you in a unique way. We're going to have a connection with you and a relationship with you in a very unique way like never before. And that's the challenge, I think. That's pshat, why the Yerushalmi tells us, it reveals to us, the secret of the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is rooted in what? It's rooted in a holy chutzpah of sorts. Right? When the boss call comes out and says, get out of my face. Chutz me'acher, you can't do tshuva. We say, Hashem, we're not going anywhere. And if we pass that test, that's a step towards Mashiach. And my brother-in-law was teaching my nephew, this goes back like a year and a half now, he was teaching him to say please and thank you, which any good parent will try to teach a child. Right, teaching by example, hopefully. And one time, they always sing. My brother-in-law likes to sing a lot. So he's singing with my nephew. He's singing, you know, we want Mashiach now, right? So he's singing, he says, we want Mashiach, and he paused. And my nephew said, please? Because he thought, like, you know, every time you pause, you want to say please. He said, we want Mashiach, please? So it was a very cute story, very sweet. So I was thinking, you know, what's the pshat? Why do we say, we want Mashiach now? Why do we sing, we want Mashiach now? It's chutzpah. Why don't we sing, we want Mashiach, please, Rabbi Hashem, when you're ready, you know? Because the answer is, the way to bring Mashiach is to say, Hashem, we need it now. It's not that we're chutzpah, but our life depends on it. The Geula, we can't live like this. If we accept the Geulas, then it's just, we want Mashiach, please. When you get around to it, we'll get to it. If we say, we want Mashiach now, we're saying, Hashem, it's life and death. I'm going to grab the luchos out of your hands if I have to. Because what do you want from me? What other option, do you leave me with? So I'll conclude with one story from Schneer Kotler. Schneer Kotler was engaged prior to World War II. Engaged to a girl. Can you imagine what that's like to marry the one, you know, one day, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Lakewood Yeshiva. After the war, she wrote him a letter, and she said, the shidduch's off. Right? Not because I don't want to marry you, but because I feel like I'm doing a disservice to you if I marry you. She says, listen, I've had it very rough during the war. She says, my entire family was killed. My father had promised us a large dowry, some substantial sum of money to help us start off our life. You know, clearly you're going to become a great rabbi one day, a great leader of the generation. She says, I don't have a family, I don't have money. She says, I lost a lot of my health during the war. You know, you're going to marry me and spend your time nursing me back to health. It's not shayach. And with the tremendous mesiras nefesh, she said, you know what, you don't have to marry. I'm exempting you, right? I'm dissolving the shidduch. Don't feel an achrayas to marry me. So Schneer Kotler wrote back the following letter to her. He says, you lost your family. He says, you lost your money. And you lost your health. He says, do you think you're going to lose your chassan? He says, you think I'm going to walk away from you at a time like this? That's our tefillah to Hashem. We hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes us a letter. Hashem looks down from Shemayim and he sees, you know what? Not like this girl who's willing to be mochel. But we say, Hashem, we can't be mochel. Please, give us a chance. And our tefillah is Hashem looks down and he sees us in our very, very broken state in the Golus, Dafka, during the 3 weeks, and he says, you've lost your spiritual health, right? People are struggling with Parnassa, and you've lost your family. There's no achdus, right? There's so many issues. But Hashem says, listen, you're not going to lose your chassan. I grab the luchos. That's the avodah of the 3 weeks. Grab the luchos out of Hashem's hand and say to him, you know, we're not going anywhere. Right, we're going to chase after you. Kol rod fa'i sigua ben mitzar. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should take, you know, whatever's left of this time. Again, hopefully we should be dancing in Yerushalayim. Karbi Amenu. But if, at the very least, if we have to go through this process, let's take the message of Shlach, Korach, Chukas, Balak, Pinchas. Let's learn to see the chesed within the din. Let's learn to see it in the proper way and understand that there's a tremendous opportunity for Geula concealed within all of the Golos. Okay,